Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. Now, what if I were to hold up a coin and then say the name Jesus? What images would come to mind? What parts of Scripture would you be thinking of? Perhaps you might be thinking of the widow and the two mites that she gave into the offering there, and Jesus commenting about how she gave all that she had. Perhaps it's something else. Maybe you're thinking of, when you're thinking of coins there and Jesus, maybe it's Jesus talking to the disciples. And they're there before the multitudes there. And it's like, hey, you guys need to go into town and buy food for all these 4,000 people who are here. And they're like, we don't have enough money. So what did Jesus do? Well, he took 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, fed everybody. Maybe it's not that. Maybe this is what comes to mind for you. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law coming up to Jesus and asking him the question, is it lawful to pay taxes? Good question to ask here, coming up on the 15th of April, right? All right, so, and what does Jesus say? He asked for a coin. So they give him a coin, and he says, whose inscription is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. But this morning, I want you to think of this. When you think of Jesus and a coin, I want you to think of this phrase, the other side of the coin. Right? The other side of the coin. Now, when you consider Jesus, when you think about Jesus, what comes to mind too? You need to ask that question. Perhaps you're thinking about Jesus, well, you know, meek and mild. That's what comes up to you when you think about Jesus. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's Savior. Maybe it's Messiah. Or maybe it's Lord of Lords, or perhaps in your mind's eye you see Jesus kneeling as in prayer. Or maybe when you think, since we're in the season of Lent there, you're thinking of him dragging that cross on his shoulders, or perhaps being nailed to the cross. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's Babe of Bethlehem or Prince of Peace. But do any of those images come to mind, though, when you read our gospel lesson for today? I think not. That's why I want you to think of that idiom there, that phrase this morning, the other side of the coin. Because what this means, when you talk about the other side of the coin, usually it's if you're thinking one thing, well, the other side of the coin, well, that's quite frankly the opposite of what you were thinking. And how well does that fit with us this morning as we consider our gospel reading? The other side of the coin is most appropriate. So, we go to our gospel reading for today. What time of year is it? Well, it's Passover, and perhaps that's the most holy day of the year there, and we have Jesus. He went up to Jerusalem, as it says in our lesson here this morning, and in the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. Now, a good question to ask would be, why on earth are those critters in there in the first place and people selling them, right? Why are the oxen and sheep in there? Aren't the people supposed to be bringing their own sacrifices anyway? That's what they're doing there in the temple. Shouldn't they be bringing their own? Well, yes, they should be bringing their own. But what if they lived a long distance away from Jerusalem? What are those folks supposed to do? Well, there's an answer for that. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And this is what the Lord says, and if the way is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe when the Lord your God blesses you, because the place is too far from you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, and then you shall turn it into money, and bind up the money in your hand, and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses, and spend the money for whatever you desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Now, it's interesting here. That's the Lord's idea, is for folks that have gone too far, right, get too far to bring their own sacrifice there to Jerusalem, that, well, you just take that money, whatever it was that you would be offering there, whatever your sacrifice would have been, turn it into cash, and when you get to Jerusalem there, celebrate, have a party. Why? To celebrate the blessings that God has given you. That's what the Lord wanted. And then so for the other 6 years out of the seven, because they do this once every 7 years there, to go up there to the temple, then, well, those other 6 years, give it to the Levites. Give your tithe to the Levites. That's what they were supposed to do anyway. And so that's how they're supposed to behave. But obviously, things over time had changed here. So when you get to Jerusalem these days, well, they had people selling stuff. They had them selling the sacrifices, the pigeons, the oxen there. And as the case with sinful human beings, things can be changed. Now let me read again what happens when Jesus sees all this. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews says that it had taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and needed man, for he himself knew what was in a man. Well, Jesus really had to have been upset to sit there and bind up a cord to make a whip. All right? This is the other side of the coin. We do not usually see Jesus getting upset like this, but he sure did here. Think about the whole situation going on. Did you see anybody lifting a hand to stop Jesus from doing this? Not one person did it. What'd they do? They only asked for a sign that he might be able to prove why he had authority to do that. And so Jesus tells them what that sign would be. Destroy this temple, again referring to himself here, and I will raise it up in 3 days. But he doesn't explain himself, because it was in that last verse there, because Jesus knew what was in a man. That little sentence explains so much. Jesus knew what was in a man. He knew what was in a man's heart. Lust, hate, sin of every kind, and duplicity in this case. Now, duplicity is a great word here, and we don't use it often enough in our language today. But duplicity is this. The vendors, they're trying to show that they are what? Doing a favor for all these people who are coming up here to worship. It's like, hey, you know, you didn't want to mess yourself with having to fool around with bringing your own sacrifice. We've got it right here. You come over here. You can buy this sheep right here. All right? I got a great deal for you. Yeah, right. Sure, it's a great deal. Sure, they jacked up the price, quite frankly, just because, you know, it was the convenience factor is what they're paying for, right? You know, you pay that. That's why they call it convenience stores, right? But here, no, Jesus, he sees right through that. He knows that's not what's in their heart. It's not that they're doing a favor for all these worshipers there. It was greed. They wanted money. Jesus saw right through that. That's what duplicity is. And Jesus, he truly is one, though, who can see right into their hearts. And he can judge their hearts. But at first, it's worth hearing all this and seeing this. Perhaps we're kind of thinking, it's like, all right, that's great, Jesus. You go get them. Get the bad guys. Well, we need to remember that God knows what's in our hearts, too. He knows our real attitude towards the Ten Commandments. And even though we're not bowing down to some carved image there in that sense, we're making other things number one in our lives. Things in which we end up taking our focus off the Lord being number one, and those activities, whatever they may be. Might be your job, working really hard to make a few extra dollars. Maybe that's your goal, and that's what you're doing. Maybe it's something else. Your kids' activities. All of which become more important than the Lord. Or maybe it's this. It's like, you know, I only go and worship the Lord when I have to go there and serve. You know, when I'm there, that's when I take my time. Otherwise, I don't need to go because I'm not serving. Well, what's that attitude like? Well, that attitude is elevating yourself above the Lord, thinking that, well, your time is only good for just right here at church, and it's like, all that other time, I don't need to do anything with that. That's my time. Yeah. You see, sin is so very devious that it can influence our attitudes and our mindset. You know, we might be given two mites in the offering plate there, and we're thinking, it's like, oh, I'm doing just as good as that widow did. Really? Did you empty out your bank account to put it in the offering plate? That's what she did. That's why Jesus commended her. But no, we like to think it's like that. What we're given there, that's all good there. But the reality is that when we start to look at our own hearts there, we find that, yeah, we are sinning, and sinning rather boldly. You see, it is for that reason why Jesus came. He knows what's in a person's heart. He came to call people to repent of their sin, for they need to see their sin. They need to know that they are sinning. We too need to see our sin. We too need to know that we are sinning. Because God is certainly upset with our sin, and sin needs to be punished. And that's just one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is this: God wants to forgive. And this is the side of this coin that we long to see, that we want to see, that we are glad to see. You see, Jesus came and kept his mouth shut like a lamb being led to the slaughter. Sure, Jesus knew what was in their hearts, knew that they would take his comment, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days." He knew that they would take that comment and use it against himself there when he was before Caiaphas. But it was for sinful hearts that he died. It was for sinful hearts that he was raised from the dead. For those who believe, who know Jesus, receive that forgiveness, not only in their hearts, but for real too. And that's a great comfort. For Jesus has every right to come in here and make a whip of cords and drive every one of us out of this church. He has that right. Because when you think about it, really we're no different than the people there that were in that temple that day. We're no different than the merchants. But yet at the same time, he knows why we came to this place, this temple right here in Hicksville. Because we came here to confess our sins and receive his forgiveness. For what is folly to some and a stumbling block to others, Jesus did die on the cross for us and rose from the grave for us, earning that forgiveness of sins and giving us the hope of everlasting life. You see, we come here to hear those words, because when we receive that forgiveness, it's like getting a hug from Jesus. It's like knowing that we are in his family, knowing that we are wanted, that we are loved. That's what makes it so great to be on this side of the coin. Because we find out there that our God loves us with an everlasting love. And that's shown to us all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we confess.